to see the Delgados with us this evening. I did mention your name in Bible class this morning because I saw on the national news on the weather report they talked about Zion and that there was ice and snow on the roads. But I think, oh, you guys are home by now, maybe. So I hope you missed that, unless you wanted to be in it. We missed it. Good. All right. Going to visit the subject of Job again this evening. About a month ago, we talked about Job and listed all the trials that he went through. Now we're going to look at some of Job's responses in our lesson this evening. And you think sometimes you have problems, and we can show a hands, all the hands would go up, I know. Even if you have big ones or you can have small ones, it doesn't matter. We have difficulties or problems in life, get stressed over them. By the way, if you didn't know it, stressed spelled backwards is desserts. So if you, when you're stressed, go for the desserts. At least that's my solution. So we're going to talk about one man this evening, the man named Job, and how he faced his problems and how he dealt with them and how he overcame them. And that's what we need. It doesn't, I always say, it doesn't help much to tell other people, well, I have problems too. And sometimes someone might say to you, oh, you're not so bad off after all, but maybe I'm not, but I still have problems. I still have difficulties, whether they match up to yours or not. I'm going through something. So everyone here is too. But it does help to see how other people handle their problems. I know, looking around, so many of us, majority of us, we've lived long enough that we've been through a lot, or different, at least a variety of situations. So, Julian, this is something for you to look forward to. There will be major events in your life, and if it's severe enough, you're going to go through these reactions that Job went through. But we're introduced to Job in chapter 1, beginning of verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God, eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys. And a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. You remember that, but then you put in your notes, that situation radically changed and rather abruptly in a moment. It's hard to believe that so much trouble could come to one man so soon, but that's what happened. He lost all of his possessions. All 10 of his children were killed in a tornado. He lost his health and he suffered pain. His friends deserted him and his wife turned against him. So Job's options were kind of limited. Job, you either handle your problem or give up. There might be some more options. I remember years ago when I was teaching in Sangamon Unified School District, there was a friend of mine named Frank, and he was a special education aide in a different classroom than mine. But he took a stress leave. And one requirement of that leave was that he attend a weekly support group. Well, so after his leave of absence, he came back and I mentioned, Frank, what'd you think about that support group? What took place there? And he said, Brian, he says, they're not there to solve your problems. They're not going to help you get another job or things like that. They're just going to support you. And he says, they're going to give you 3 choices. That support group is going to tell you to live with it, transfer, or quit. That's your support. Well, Frank did come back to school before the year ended, but then he transferred to a middle school, because we were in elementary school. But there was just the middle school was just across the freeway, and just so happened that 3 of the students that were in his classroom moved up to the middle school where he was an aide. So you run But you always can't hide from your situations or your difficulties. Well, so what did Job do with his problems? What are you going to do? Starts with basic faith. Chapter 1, verse 21. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Oh yeah, I feel better now. That really helps me. You know, just keep repeating that if you're getting in trouble. You know, but that sounds good. It's kind of cozy, we might say. Sometimes I hear people say when they have trouble, they just say, "Oh well." Well, I think there's more to that. I'm a little more practical. I need something of more substance to help me. But Job showed his human side, and that's what I've listed for you in your notes. Number one, these are some of the things that he went through. And Kubler-Ross wrote a book decades and decades ago. I'm talking about the stages of grief, and many people are very, very familiar with that. He wrote several books on that subject. And this is just a partial list of those stages of grief that people go through when a severe difficulty or tragedy comes in their life. Well, Job does the same thing. Number one, numb shock. Chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. Job is smote with sore boils, the Bible says, from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his head. Wow. And then beginning in verse 11, all the way through chapter 2, he's speechless. Ah, that may happen to you. You think, my breath is taken away. I don't know what to say. I'm just numb. His friends came to give him comfort. When they came, they didn't recognize him, the Bible says. And his friends began to weep. They tore their clothes, sprinkled dust on their heads. They sat for 7 days and nights without a word spoken. Wow. Sometimes that's our first reaction to tragedy and loss. Just unbelief. What is happening to me? What just happened? You always say, "Well, you want to talk about it?" No. No, I don't want to talk about it. We just shake our head. There was a while back, my oldest son, I can't remember the exact situation, but I think he was talking to Christine. He says, "Yep, Dad's going through troubles." When Dad has problems, you know what he does? He paces back and forth like this. Bert sighs and rubs his forehead like that. And he mimicked me. That's what Dad does. I really do that. Well, eventually that's what Job is going through, that numb shock. I don't know what to do or what to say. But then you move on. Then you're in despair. At least some are. These things don't happen to everybody. Some people just go right to despair. They just skip. And by the way, Kubler-Ross in her books, he does point out, you don't have to take these stages in order. And it's okay to skip some too, if that's your situation. But second, typically people go through despair. And so again, Job did that. He lamented the day he was born. The night he was conceived, he took it back farther. He wanted to die. It's in chapter 3, verse 3. He said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there's a man-child conceived. Oh, take my life." In verse 11, he said, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly?" Wow, for Job, his situation, with that abrupt change, as we say, describing it, life has lost meaning and reason for living. He's thinking that that initial shock is, I don't have anything left. What I have and what I was holding on to is gone. He couldn't see anything in the future but gloom and trouble. And almost sometimes we always say, "Well, I didn't see that coming. Didn't see that." So we can identify with Job. Life sometimes in our situation, maybe not, obviously not like Job, but it could. Some disaster befall us. We feel the weight of the trouble. We say, "Why me?" I've said that before. "Everything is sour in my life," we sometimes say. "All my luck is bad luck." "I'm lower than low." I have to look up to just to see bottom. That's pretty low. I don't see any blessings to count. The song Dennis just sang, count your many blessings. Some people are going to say when they're in trouble, I don't have any. They're not going to look. I just feel so bad about my situation, they say. It's a time of depression. Sometimes it doesn't leave quickly. Some people can, it doesn't last that long, but it does. And then you move on to what we might say the next stage. In Job, he started looking for the good old days. The good old days. Chapter 29, verse 2. Skip a lot of chapters here in Job's story. He says, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me." Oh, remember those good days when everything was fine? Oh, yes. So look backward, and he's probably saying, "I remember when." Oh, I remember when I wasn't in this trouble. And back in those days, everything was going my way. And remember, I was the greatest. Remember that phrase in the text? In all the land, I was the best. But remembering the past might be okay. May produce some positive results now. We may enjoy some fond memories, but right now we're in trouble. Can't go back. Can't undo the accident that put me in my current situation. I can't unspill the spilled milk, as we say. Can't focus on missed opportunities. We might say, "Oh, if only." Or, "I wish that." And then we start talking again. Or sometimes in a regretful mood, we say, "Why didn't I?" Well, we remember what got us in this situation. So we long for the good old days, but we have to be convinced that each day brings its own opportunities. Each day does. No matter what your current situation, no matter what the severity of the difficulty, today has its rewards if we'll open our eyes. But then number four, he went through that anger and resentment that some people go through. So Job, like sometimes us, start trying to pin the blame on someone. That's a typical reaction. And I know I've said this before, and I've heard other people say it. And when that bang happens in our life, we say, "Look what you made me do." Put the blame on someone else. "You caused me to do this." Oh, really? In chapter 16, the opening verses said, "Then Job answered and said," Job 16, beginning of verse 1, "I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all." Those are the three friends that came to Job. In chapter 32, the story of Job is rather lengthy, 40-some chapters. But in chapter 32, verse 1 says, "So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes." So Job couldn't believe the conclusion that these three friends were making. He said, "No, what you're telling me is not correct," because the three friends came to Job and said, "Job, you know, prosperity is God's reward for a righteous life. And trouble in second, Job, trouble and sorrow is God's punishment for being a sinner. Therefore, Job, because of the greatness of your situation, you must have done something really terrible." That was their conclusion. If you have a good life, you're on God's side. If you have a horrible life, you're doing something bad. That was their comforting words. So Job has anger and resentment. "You are miserable comforters." That they are. But then Job wants to blame God. He thinks God has been unfair with him by allowing these troubles to come. So he's saying, "Hey God, it's me. Nothing bad's supposed to happen to me. I'm on your side. Yeah, I'm supposed to be happy all the time." So in chapter 30, verse 20, the Bible says, "I cry unto thee, and you do not hear me. I stand up, and you regard me not. Thou art become cruel to me. With thy strong hand you oppose yourself against me." So Job says, "God, You're supposed to be on my side, and he's in his thinking these things shouldn't be happening to my life. And so he has an argument, or he wants to have a one-way discussion with God. So there's times when we need to stop the blame and we need to get on with the solution. Don't let the anger and the resentment last. But there may come anger and resentment, especially against those who try to help you and against God. I don't want to blame God for this. Sometimes we allow our anger and resentment, well, this is the way that God's going to allow me to be treated, then I'm not going to attend. Or the congregation can't count on me for anything, not the way God's treating me. And we take out our anger and resentment on God and brethren or relationships. Anger. But then the last, an honest encounter with God. You're familiar with this, and there's several chapters in this discussion between Job and God. But chapter 38, it opens up with, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." So Job kind of had his say, and his stomping around and blaming his friend, blaming God, and just giving it that, what am I going to do? So then God says, listen up, Job. Listen up. First thing he says with a question, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" Oh, Job thinks he has all the information, but God says, "Who are you? You darken my counsel with your knowledge, and you really don't have any knowledge about this?" So now God said, "Gird up now thy loins like a man. For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." And then there's that long list of questions in chapter 38 where God questions Job, like, where were you when this was formed? Why do the seas stop at the shore? And just a myriad of questions that Job, I don't know. Oh, kind of puts Job back in place. But two things emerge from this conversation that God has with Job. Number one, Job came to a better understanding of the past. So Job, when God asking these questions, there's about 40 questions that Job didn't know. So as a result, Job seemed to conclude that the things he was bitter about losing really didn't belong to him in the first place. Remember, he came into this world naked. He goes out the same way. Everything that we accumulate is for here. And when we die, we leave it here. And maybe Job didn't understand that part. They were undeserved gifts that God provided. I'm thankful that I was born in Michigan and not Timbuktu. I'd prefer to have been born in Hawaii, maybe Monterey. No, I think anyway. So Job came to a better understanding of the past. But then he came to a better understanding of the future. That the future can be brighter. He had to understand that God, who has given abundantly in the past, can give abundantly in the future. Even though in the present situation, we don't seem to think there's an abundance of God's good things in our life. But remember, there was that time we look back to the good old days. Oh, I wish. But wait a minute, that good old days can be a good future too. You see, and I've always heard expressions like this, these platitudes or these slogans, these mottos, troubles and tragedy can make or break you. They can make you bitter or better. We use these kinds of things in life to kind of help us through, just to since we can't change the circumstance, we're supposed to change our attitude, which we can change. The circumstances don't always change. And as badly as it hurts, you know, there's some things that we can learn from severe difficulties in your life and mine. Because when we hurt, it causes us to be sympathetic to others. I may say to someone, well, I haven't been through exactly what you've been through, but I've been through some hard times, so I can be sympathetic. There's a blessing in difficulties also in that it causes us to realize that heaven is not on earth. so I don't want to stay here. And then we remember those scriptures, we're pilgrims and strangers, we're just passing through, that's right. So the things that earth throws at us, and what happens to our possessions where moth and rust and thieves break through and steal. And Jesus says, you know, that's why we ought to lay up treasure in heaven where there isn't any rust and thieves do not break through and steal. And there isn't moth or decay. Ah. So the troubles and trials of life remind me that heaven is not on earth. And it also strengthens us to overcome other trials. When I've gone through one trial and then, oh, I've got through that one, then another one comes along and I said, you know what, I can get through this one because I got through the other one. And even in life, you think about the troubles and trials from our youth and many of those skirmishes we have as youngsters, the consequences are not so severe, but as we get older, they become more severe or they become more tragic or hard in your life and mine. But because we've experienced those from our youth and have overcome, at our age now, we can say, I look at everything in the past that I've overcome. I can do this too. I can get through this. I can. And then when we overcome troubles and trials, we become an example for others. Because I say, I look at someone over here, if I look at Dennis sitting here, and I say, he's been through some hard stuff there. If he can do it, I can do it. So Dennis, you better keep overcoming because you're my example. So there's a value even in experiencing difficulties or severe tragedy. There's some blessings. So we need to have an honest, as we say, encounter with God. So make the best of your troubles so that it makes the best of you. That's the outcome. You make the best of them because it will make you better. It will. The one I put in your notes, the one who provided the good old days can be trusted to provide the good new days. And if yesterday was filled with meaning and purpose, why can't tomorrow be? Disaster, dealing with it's not always easy, but really we can do it. Can do it. We have resources available. It's there. I just don't know sometimes God's time frame to getting me through this. I want to hurry up the process. But sometimes we just don't know. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If there is one here this evening that if you don't remember the New Testament church, we can accomplish or aid you in that. I don't think so. But if you want to ask brethren for strength and encouragement or prayers, we can accomplish that also. Just need to let that request be known. So to help you in making that decision or that resolve or letting that request be known, let's stand together. We'll sing this invitation song. And if you need to make a public response, just simply do so and come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this song.